heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Let's just say this was maybe overpromised and underdelivered at this point, especially now that you see the clock running out here. It's hard to imagine we're at this point and there's been no indictments. Problem is now the clock is running out and Congress has made that clear. They're a little jittery over there in Congress and they sent a letter off to the IG Horowitz to put everybody in place and to tell him to go look and see what Durham is doing and make sure that Durham isn't stepping out of line in the next 60 days so they can try to get Biden in there in the White House. So, you know, for the longest time, many experts I had on this platform and on this show had a lot of confidence, tremendous amount of confidence in John Durham, and felt that he would deliver the goods and finally we would know. But yet from what we see right now, it looks like that day, and I don't know whether it will ever come or not. It's hard to say. There are so many ways this can play out. At this point, it's too close now to the election and that's not going to fly. So then you wonder how close is he to knowing what he should be, you know, telling us. And of course, let's also keep in mind that Attorney General William Barr knows far more than he obviously is telling us. And for that matter, so does President Trump. Clearly, they know a lot more. There's a lot of bones buried in this one, people. But you have to remember, this is going to tie up the last 4 years of, well, the coup. And certainly one of the biggest, it's not one of, it's going to be the biggest scandal ever to rock our nation's capital. But then again, that's if we ever get to the other side of this thing. If we don't, we may never know. And that was always the risk of a Hillary Clinton victory. That was always the risk that we would never find this information out because they would have buried all of it immediately. We wouldn't have, you remember, they were famous for that. I mean, she had the bleach bit and the hammers and hacksaws and God knows what else she had, blowing everything up. And of course, that's what they do on the socialist left side. They just destroy everything, like the phones they just did. They just destroy it all. Say, well, we don't know anything. You know, it's like me see no evil, me hear no evil, me talk no evil, me know no evil, huh? You know, they're innocent, sure. You know, all right. So it was May 2019 that AG Barr put him in charge. We reported on it many, many times. I remember the moment it happened. And this is the guy, the attorney now, was out of Connecticut. And by the way, he's worked for both sides of the aisle. And he was, you know, promised as to be very fair, very even-handed, doesn't play politics. The sort of thing you hear often with various people, but it doesn't always come true. And I say that because there's very little evidence that anybody falls to this stature. You know, it plays on the other side of things when they say everything is political or everybody has a political side or a political bent or a political ideology to it. And they do. I mean, they absolutely do. So I don't know if I can subscribe to the fact that this guy is that fair, that impartial, that unique, that he's different than everybody else. Hard to say. It's also hard to say why he hasn't come up with anything up to this point. I mean, there's a lot we know already as the public, and how much do we really know? We probably know a fraction of the real truth, but we know enough to know that we were screwed over. I mean, we know enough to know that. We know enough to know that that this thing should have never happened, and we know enough to know that this is the biggest coup, scandal, cover-up in our nation's history. And then we have to wonder, you know, will we ever get the evidence? Will we ever see the real side of this story? And it really depends. It depends a lot on the political circles and what happens in the next election. Because if this thing is cut off at the knees right now, there will be a lot of information buried. It's amazing sometimes how Washington keeps its secrets, its dirty, deep, dark, disgusting secrets, you know? They say everything becomes public at one time or another, but there's so much we don't know, and yet we can only guess, you know. So this Durham thing, he's a longtime federal prosecutor. Again, he was appointed at one time or mandated to do some work with Eric Holder, just to show you he's worked for both sides. So he's supposed to be fair and, you know, just and all of that. And so one of the reports here in Lawfare is Durham is conducting a comprehensive global probe of the U.S. government's investigation of the Trump campaign's connections with Russia. Well, this is the official story on it, yeah? The investigation covers pre- and post-election matters and reportedly has come to include the unmasking of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and the basis for the intelligence community's assessment that Russia tried to help Donald Trump win the election in 2016. And this was all, you know, back to the collusions, back to the dossiers, it's back to that whole scandal that came out of there that they pumped up for the longest time. That was the Mueller. You remember the Mueller investigation? See, God, that seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Doesn't even seem like there have been so many scandals and so many moments. I mean, we've had so much happen since Mueller that it's hard to even remember where he was. You know, think about it. It's almost like all the simpler days when all they were trying to do was get him on Russia collusion and get him out of office through Mueller, the probe, you know? I mean, it really is amazing that so much has happened that we even have to think back. When was that again? How far back was that? And it held our nation captive. It held our people captive, and I believe it tied number 45 up in knots. And so much he could have accomplished, so much more he could have accomplished, had he had the support of some of these people. I mean, you're not going to get the support of everybody in Washington, and nor would you get the opposing political side. But by golly, they certainly made this one a tale for the times. Specifically, I want to bring you to this letter now they sent on the 18th of September. Congress sent this to the Honorable Michael E. Horowitz. Now, this is the Inspector General, mind you, okay? The Department of Justice, right? So they send this letter off to him. Dear Inspector General Horowitz, we write to ask you that you open an emergency investigation into whether U.S. Attorney General William Barr, U.S. Attorney John Durham, and other Department of Justice political appointees are following DOJ's long-standing policy to avoid taking official actions on other steps that could improperly influence the upcoming presidential election. I mean, this is their concern right here, right? We also request that you evaluate the authority and scope under which U.S. Attorney Durham is operating, as Attorney General Barr has only provided vague and shifting statements about the purpose and scope of the investigation. And they go on, you know, it's a lot to this. They go on to say, we are concerned by indications that AG Barr might depart from longstanding principles to take public action related to the U.S. Attorney Durham's investigation that could impact the presidential election. So this is more or less their insurance policy to put everybody on notice that the AG better not. Now, the reason they're doing this, they've noticed in the past few weeks that Attorney General Barr is becoming a little outspoken, more so, very unusual, more so than not. He usually keeps to himself. He doesn't usually get as public with many of the statements and things that he's doing, but seems to be he's ruffling their feathers. He's making them a little nervous is what's happening, because he is so outspoken. He's doing some interviews. He's doing some other things, and he's really hitting a lot of truths, and that's making them highly, highly uncomfortable. So what they've done now, the House Democrats, is they're asking the Department of Justice, Horowitz, to probe Durham, this whole Trump-Russia investigation that Durham was supposed to be, you know, the truth-sayer, right? He was going to deliver the truth. Now, listen, I've had plenty of people tell me, plenty of experts in my ears and plenty of people I've had on the platform and the show here and many other things that were very, very comfortable and very certain that Durham would be the answer, that the truth will not escape Durham. You know, we had all those other IG investigations, remember? There's always a lot of lead up and a lot of bang, bang, the drum, right up to the point of here's the announcement, and then sadly there's nothing there after that, right? And we've seen this play out so many times. It's always a letdown. It's like they dangle the carrot. We got all the goods. Here they are. But we really can't do anything about it. And it seems like they always get a pass. And I know we've talked about this so many times, and you wonder, my golly, is there any justice at all? I mean, how can this thing go on to this point now and there not be anybody be indicted for what had happened? I mean, this was a coup at the highest level. It's just tyranny. Everything else pales compared to what's happened here. I mean, everything else pales. But yet we still don't have the goods. This really is being jeopardized right now with election 2020 and where the clock is. Many people were confident that we'd know something by Labor Day that has come and gone. And that was the word that on the street, at least, that we were hearing from many, that we would know something more. Problem is now we're inside of these couple of months just before the election, which is what Congress's purpose is here, is to remind everybody, and more so remind the Department of Justice and the administration, that you better not do something here that's improper, because we have our eyes on you. So in the big picture, congressional Democrats have ramped up accusations that Barr is working to benefit Trump's reelection. And everybody believes that at this point. I mean, all the reports or all the news cycle, this is the word out there. And in May, he went so far as to allege that he is doing the president's political bidding by interfering in ongoing criminal cases, including dropping the agency's prosecution of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. It's hard to say now, and let's play this out a little bit more, what the scenarios are and what might or might not happen. So a lot of this is going to come down to, and where the push really is or the danger is, if there is an administration change, God forbid, coming into this next cycle, then you would see every one of these investigations stop immediately, just flat, overnight, it would be done. And they would all go away. It would all be pushed under the carpet. And all this time and attention and detail and money that was put into this would be gone. But it seems like there's always a caveat. It seems like they always come up with even with Durham, you'll wonder at the last minute, you always wonder like, okay, when he does deliver the goods or supposed, you know, indictments, if we ever see any, right? You wonder there, what's the caveat to that going to be? What's the excuse or the reason? Don't you get the feeling or the impression that the establishment always gets a pass? They always seem to get the easy way out. Why is it? But yet the rest of us, you step out of line or do anything and you're crucified. But yet these people in these political circles, they continue to get a pass. I mean, justice isn't fair. Justice isn't blind. Justice is a lot of BS. I mean, and I think most people are feeling that these days. I mean, I really do. And you hate to say that because And that is a narrative we've been talking about and pushing here, but I don't see the justice. I don't see it anywhere. One of the other scenarios I was thinking and wondering, if the unthinkable happened and Biden, Harris, and I can't imagine this would happen, but God forbid, but they ended up becoming the choice. You know, you even have a hard time saying this. It does not roll off the tongue. And don't you get a little edgy even thinking this way? I mean, come on, you know, I mean, I get very uncomfortable even thinking about it, let alone talking about it or putting it out here in the open space with you, you know, but let's just play a minute. Just bear with me. So let's say that unthinkable happened, for instance. So I was thinking, all right, so then the current president would become a lame duck just after the election, let's say. And there's so many unknowns and uncertainties. And I'm not talking about that right now with you, when we would even know that who the president is based on all these election scams and everything else going on. That's not part of this conversation. So I don't really know whether that happens on November 4th or November 14th or November 24th or, you know, January 24th. Probably has to happen by then, right? because we have a new president coming in, or don't look now, but some people are speculating that Pelosi would take the reins. They're suggesting, but that's just not going to happen. I mean, a lot of people have been in my ear saying, well, do you know what happens if, you know, if the president or the vice president aren't there to serve and we don't have another president, guess who becomes president? You know, it's a scenario that it is so far-fetched. I can't imagine it's any kind of a consideration or possibility. Wow. Even the thought of that makes your hair stand up on your entire body and make notice of that, I'll tell you. Imagine her in the driver's seat. God forbid. Wow. I mean, we need to move on past the Pelosi. This is one evil woman. I was thinking of that the other day, the relationship she has with Trump. And I remember her tearing up, you know, the whole speech there at the State of the Union. Just thinking of that yesterday, in fact. Thinking of what an evil woman she is. And thinking of the things she's doing now and trying to push this agenda out there. And even suggested now that she'll go ahead and do another round of impeachment to make sure that, or with Barr, whatever, if they try to push forward with the new Supreme Court. It's making them very edgy and very nervous on the left, clearly. And so she's suggesting that, yeah, we'll impeach Barr, we'll impeach Trump. I mean, this lady is she's a lunatic if there ever was one. Isn't that the level, though, they stoop to when they have nothing else? I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, they don't have anything on their side. So then they start this firestorm of, you know, stupid talk. But the problem is, a lot of the times that stupid talk is backed up with these outlandish things, like trying to impeach the president just before COVID hit. You know, that whole episode in between the collusion and the Ukraine special and the 25th Amendment and the on and on. It's beyond comprehension, really, that we're even talking about these things still. It's sick what it is. It is absolutely sick. It's a comedy hour times 1,000. And yet here we are. We're still doing it and still talking about it. It's hard to imagine the things they get away with, the left. And the right continue to let them. They don't ever snap back and really force the hand, because you get all these milquetoast politicians all the way through. And I'm not talking about the rhinos. The Romneys and all of those, and the Collins and all of these people. I'm talking about even the Lindsey Grahams and those, you know, a very sort of milk toasty kind of, you know, like, yeah, whatever, you know. I mean, you get all of those people, they'll go along with whichever way the wind is blowing, which is really most of Washington, actually. They'll just bend over in a hot second, depending on which way the wind is blowing. Pretty silly, actually, to run a government this way, but that's really what we have. It's what we're... And yet they say, oh, it's the greatest in the world. Don't worry about it. This is the best. Well, I guess when you consider some of the other alternatives, that is true. But you think we could do a lot better, though, I'll tell you. You think. So that scenario I was just talking about, if the unthinkable happened, right? And so what would happen now to Durham? What would happen to this entire deal? This big coveted investigation, you know, what would we ever really know about it? So, all right. So if, you know, you got this, well, like the letter Congress that has just sent off to the IG reminding them. So let's say, okay, so we're in that 2-month window. They kind of blew it. I mean, not kind of, they definitely blew it. I mean, why don't we have any answers by now? Why is it this far deep into it and we still have no answers? Why are we even talking about this anymore? Is there no price to pay for any of this? You know, it should be disturbing to every American that now we are just before this next pivotal election and there is still no justice, no justice to be found anywhere. And we're still, there are so many loose ends. And so we get John Durham over here. Everything else has failed over here. And there's no special counsel. I mean, they said Durham was going to be better than a special counsel, but they certainly did a special counsel out of nothing to go after the president on the whole Russia thing, on a fake dossier and the whole establishment throwing everything at him that they could. But let's say all that happened and then the election happened and the unthinkable did happen. So what would happen to Durham then is the question. So I was thinking about that. The administration would become a lame duck administration. But there are still some things they can do. And then you think about Attorney General William Barr. Well, he'll be in a magic carpet ride out of there pretty quick. They can't stomach him, clearly. I mean, he's definitely would be, out with the president. In fact, the entire administration, I mean, that's what happens with an administration change like that. It all gets swept out, except some of these bureaucracies, which are still a lot of Obama holdovers in those as well. So they'll probably just bring them forward, I guess, So what would happen in that time between November and January 20th? Because January 20th is Inauguration Day, and it's going to happen in 2021 no matter what. So if we do end up on the 24th of January, we don't have answers to any of this, we're in trouble. Unless, again, the unthinkable doesn't happen, right? But if it did, I'm wondering, so between whenever that decision is made in November and, we say, okay, this is the president for the next 4 years, and the 20th, if that unthinkable did happen, what would happen in that time period? Would there be time to move and, I wonder, unveil what exactly? And what kind of a constitutional crisis might that lead to? Think about that when you've got all these. I mean, at that point, kind of the gloves come off. I mean, Attorney General William Barr, he's going to just want as many quick, fast answers as he can. It's going to be a lot of pressure. And I don't know how John Durham fits into this or not, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of things happen in full daylight. A lot of big interviews, a lot of big conversation, a lot of bombs dropping. I think there would be a lot of that probably between, let's call it mid-November and mid-January. I mean, you got 2 months there, people. You got a couple of months to be able to bring in whatever, this new administration or whatever was going to happen. So think about that scenario, and I was wondering what would happen in those 2 months. Would everybody just, would there be a moment of truth? And then what would happen with that truth? Now, what if Durham was that close but missed the clock this time? So I don't know, just play with me here. What if Durham was that close this past month, but it couldn't happen by Labor Day because we're just a little shy? So we held on to the goods, maybe, right? Maybe, I don't know. And so now we're in this period of time, you can't do anymore. Now we see what happens. And what if we're that close? It's a pipe dream, isn't it? I don't know. You really do get to the point where you think this whole thing is a pipe dream. The honorability of justice, where is it? I mean, I don't even believe it anymore. That's the problem. I'm talking to you, but I can't. I mean, do you believe it out there? Do you believe that justice will prevail here? We have no evidence at all that would indicate that will happen. And people are frustrated. I mean, damn frustrated to know what's happened with our nation and what's happened with this president. It is beyond anything I could have ever guessed. With what number 45 has been through in those last 4 years, it's pretty incredible. It's beyond any blockbuster I could tell you about, but it is real life. And that's how screwed up this is really right now, that we're faced with these kinds of decisions. But imagine if that happened and this President Kamala Harris and AKA Biden was taken office on the 20th of January, 2021. Right. And so if that was happening, then what would happen in that 2 month period? Would there be just truth? Would there be people just thinking there's nothing to lose and here's my truth and here's this truth and here's that truth? Does anybody, is that the moment when all of that comes out? And what does that really mean for the American people? And do we find out a lot more about Biden's corruption? What happens if we find out a lot more about his corruption with his son, Hunter Biden, in Ukraine? And what if all that flushes out and we then say, oh my God, this Biden was, it's pretty bad stuff here. You almost wonder, why do you have to get that deep into it to get real answers? Huh? This is what Washington is. It's everybody's kissing everybody's backside. And it's one favor after the next. And it's a lot of CYA. And a lot of people selling each other out and getting rich in the process, all at the expense. And that's why the corruption is so bad. And it's why we need we need to limit this corruption. And I think until we, until the people really demand that term limits are the law of the land for all positions, from executive positions upward, even, again, even CEOs, even executive roles, executive directors, directors like the FBI director, the CIA, different positions in different agencies, they're only able to hold the position for, you know, pick a number, so many years. And then they have to, so term limits for everybody, term limits for the government agencies. I know people say, well, we've never done anything like that. That would never happen. But I don't think there's another way to do this, because just having term limits for Congress is not going to be enough, because most of the problems come from these government agencies. The bureaucracy in Washington is long, deep, dark, and it is explosive. And until you put, you know, controls on all those agencies, now that really, really is, to me, the only way to limit the power of the establishment. And the only way to limit the power of the establishment is to get them out of there. You know, again, they want to be appointed or run for another seat somewhere else. That's fine. But in those roles, in those key spots, there should be some rules of engagement in play, don't you think? I mean, this, we should have done this years ago. We'd had half a shot today that we wouldn't be so corrupt. But the corruption in Washington is, it's beyond the beyond. And there is no other way to turn back that clock, people. There isn't. And again, I've told you before, I really think these the term limits should be for the Supreme Court as well. It should be across the board. Any of these power positions in Washington, D.C. should be time sensitive, should have a time block to it, whatever that is. I mean, we can figure out what those are. I that's not even my concern today. Well, whatever the consensus is, will be the consensus. But the idea is just to turn it over, turn over the power. Doesn't that make sense? On all levels, you're going to limit and, you know, the presidency to term limits. You know, when that was done and changed, because at one time a president, as you know, was able to serve three or four terms. But now that that was done, we should be doing that across the board, everything. And I until we get that done, I think we're going to continue to deal with these kinds of problems. That is our best shot to turn it all over and, you know, put some fresh air in some of these groups and these agencies and new people in charge. And they can all be positioned in a certain way. It doesn't happen overnight at one time, so the government stops working. All these agencies and all Congress, it can all, it's, you stagger them. You stagger the whole operation, but it cleanses itself out. It's like the tide coming in, you know, with the ocean. It cleanses out, it comes in and it goes out, low tide, high tide, and, you know, just keeps moving, pushes all the crap in and out, right? Comes in, picks up a lot of the crap, pushes it out to the ocean. All right, same thing, right? Bring some of it in. A lot of water comes in and sucks it right back out. That's kind of what we need. There's your answer right there to limit the power in Washington, a lot of these power brokers. So wouldn't that be interesting anyways with Durham to see what would happen? And in that 2-month period of time, I wonder what the stakes or the possibilities could be. And I don't really know, but I do find it fascinating, because do I think for a minute, or do you think that if the unthinkable happened, that everybody would just go along with it? I think you would see, I got to tell you what, knowing Donald Trump as we all do, I think you're going to get the kitchen sink thrown at Washington. I think the establishment will be hurt and they'll be bleeding. And I think it'll be a come to Jesus moment. And I think we'll be peeling it all off here, and we'll be looking together at, well, that's the one beautiful thing about this Trump presidency, is he has exposed more that we've ever seen in our lifetime. It has been, isn't that kind of ironic? The unveiling of the establishment has happened as they've gone full throttle after Trump, after number 45. Why do you think they have? Why? I mean, come on. Why is he such a threat to the entire system? Why is he a threat to every moving species that there is on the planet? That's exactly why. And isn't that ironic? All that's happening. Now you see the mighty establishment rise up and what they're doing right now. Why is that, you ask? Well, come on. There it is. That's why they want him out of there. So here's the thing. If that unthinkable happened, I suggest to you, I'm willing to bet that DJT throws the book at all of them. I think you'll get more truth than you ever thought possible. You'll brace yourself. You're going to get a sense of more about Washington, what it ever was and is. And I think it'll be an interesting couple of months. And I think you'll find A.G. Barr following suit to that. I think he'll do the same thing. And I think you'll have others that will step up and say, you know what? And what I think that now becomes is a fisticuffs, a real interest in fisticuffs in Washington. You know, the old saying, sometimes you got to step back before you step forward, right? Maybe this is one of those times in our nation where we've got to step back to step forward. Either way, we're headed somewhere, because if the unthinkable doesn't happen and the president does retain the presidency, knowing that everything is trying to push him out of there, I mean, it's not exactly a fair fight. But it kind of is on the other side of it, because if we the people are with the president, then it is a fair fight and we the people will win. But it just depends where those lines are drawn with the people, I think, is where I'm at. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And again, it's got to come down to moderates, independents, Democrat light, all of those people. We need all of those. We need Black America. We need Hispanic America. We need Asian America. We need women. We need all of it. Everything. We got to push forward to save our nation. Now, if that happens, here's the other thing. Now, Trump wins, resounding win. We're going to have to deal with some unrest in some areas. And you know that. But that's probably doable. And that's probably fixable, because the president would certainly would have to push the Insurrection Act. And we would he'd have to take control of some of these cities, but at least we'd be somewhere at that point. And maybe that's the pain we got to go through to get to the other side. I don't know. But at that point, what would happen with Durham then? You see, what would happen with Durham? Would we know thereafter? Because then the president and Attorney General Barr. And the other thing I wonder is how long will A.G. Barr stay with the administration? With term two, will he stay there through? Because usually an AG doesn't stay for the long duration, and he's already been there through a lot, replacing obviously Sessions, who was totally ineffective and a stooge. So then you wonder that, will AG Barr see it through? You would think he's committed at this point to really getting after the deep state. In fact, I have some things I want to, AG Barr has been he's an interesting man. I know a lot of people are not happy with him right now, but he is a very interesting man. I want to talk about more about AG Barr, actually. And I got a couple of interesting things. We already can see the evidence. He's already feeling open. He's talking more than he has in some time. And it seems to me he's getting a little restless, probably is the word. He's getting a little restless. And I think he's pretty fed up. I know I am. I'm sure you are as well. We'll pick that up on the other side of the boards with A.G. Barr. Durham, the clock, it's running. And Attorney General William Barr, more Voice of a Nation, just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, HealthyCell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit HealthyCell.com/sleep. That's Healthy, HealthyCell.com/sleep.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
War on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
You have to remember, first of all, with Attorney General William Barr, this is not his first rodeo. The man is very experienced. He understands Washington politics. He knows where a lot of bones are buried. Seems to be an honorable man. I mean, everything that we can see about him. Now, again, some people are pretty upset with Barr at this point because he's not moving fast enough. But I think what I've come to realize is this. The establishment over here is significant. And although we do get restless and we do want answers and we're tired of not having the answers, right? But I think the power of the establishment is far greater than you or I realize. And I've grown into understanding how big the establishment is. Why do you think I've gotten to this point where I'm suggesting, you know, term limits across the board? You know, it's pretty... radical position for me to take, I've never heard anybody in my life anyway saying put them in all the government agencies and all. I've never heard anybody say that, but that's how bad I think it is that I do believe we need that now. I think it's a brilliant idea, actually. Now, can it be done and how can it be done and how successful would it be? I think it would be successful if we can come up with a system to do it, but I think it is the only way to drain this murky, slimy, slutty swamp once and for all. I don't think there's another way to do it, because even if you just do part way, you still have all this bureaucracy there and all this overlay of government ineptness. This is the same thing with the Supreme Court. They shouldn't be there till they're 87 or 93. Why should they be there? It's not acceptable. Not in their senior years. There's all kinds of complications and problems that happen in one's senior years. They shouldn't be a Supreme Court justice. I don't believe it. I think the lifetime appointment is a wrong move. And I think that needs to be adjusted as well. Yeah, I move it along. You know, the honorability of the people in the system can work. As I say, it's not just about one party rule here. It's about the people rule and what kind of a country. That's what America has always been based on. So Barr, Now, Barr's first rodeo as an AG was back in 1991, and you know, you might recall this. You were here at the time, and he was back there with George H. W. Bush, the first Bush administration. A lot of people were surprised when he returned to power here as the 85th Attorney General when President Trump gave him the nod. And it really was a strange relationship when we all heard the news, because we remember his role prior. And a lot of people were like, wow, Attorney General. I mean, like Barr was like very official and very, we just weren't sure how he would fit in with a Donald Trump. It was, you know, Barr, very professional, very proficient, very official, very Washington. And I'm not demeaning that, and I'm not demeaning him, but I'm saying versus Donald Trump, the drain swamper, ghost buster, kick your ass down the road, businessman, non-politician, we the people hero, basically, right? It just didn't seem like it fit. But I'll tell you, it's been an interesting relationship. And although from the beginning I wasn't sure, I think Barr has come along to earn a lot of respect. But then people say, why hasn't he moved quicker? Why isn't he doing more? Why isn't he letting people go? Why is, and there are a lot of whys here. I don't have the answers for you. And I'm not here to defend him or to defend the system. I know a lot of people get in my ear and say, but he hasn't done, and you're right, he hasn't. And I don't know if there's anybody who can get in that position to do exactly what we want. I'm not seeing it. What I'm suggesting is there's a certain way Washington works. There's a certain establishment to it. And I know this sucks. I know it doesn't sound good. And people get upset to say, well, it shouldn't be that. I agree with you. It shouldn't be that way. I'm with you. I don't have the answers as to why. I don't really know. But, you know, what do we have beyond that? So we have an attorney general who is speaking out. Not perfect. We don't have the answers we need or we require. We know we're inside this element now. We know we kind of feel like we almost lost Durham now. But I don't know, but we'll see. We shall see after, you know, again, the shift from the election. You know, it would have been far interesting had we had this 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 months ago. Would have been far more interesting had we had some indictments and Durham had delivered. Would have been far more interesting coming into the election to have some of these revelations about Joe Biden and his corruptness and crookedness. Sure, it would have been. Would have been easier, too, at this point to run this next election. But like everything, the right always bends over for the left. That's all I can tell you. I don't like it. I don't have an answer for you. But the right, they always bend over and take one from the left. And the left just continues to push. It's the screwiest relationship I've ever seen. And yet it happens routinely. I mean, it's just the left plays bitter, key, evil, dirty politics on every level. And you see it right now. I mean, you see Chuck Schumer, Chuck the Schmuck. You see what he's doing. Nancy Pelosi. You see the whole group over there, how they operate. These people should have long been gone. By the way, under my plan, they would have been long gone out of Washington, by the way. Many of these people have been there for 30, 40, 50 years, as I say to you. So they would have been long gone history. We wouldn't have to be dealing with some of these people under my plan. And we wouldn't be dealing with a Ginsburg either, dying at 87 and going through all this all these years. We wouldn't be dealing with that either. You get my point? So Barr is starting to speak up. He's getting uncomfortable and he knows what's happening. He knows the president has been taken down the railroad on a ride here. He knows the American people have. And he obviously knows the clock is ticking now. And that's why Congress got nervous and sent the letter putting the IG on notice and putting John Durham on notice and putting Congress on notice and Donald Trump on notice and putting the American people on notice that, you know, that they still have a card to play. That's what we're looking at here, a card to play. As Pelosi continues to be a thorn in the American people's side, you know. So a lot of news reports out about Barr and this. Well, again, as I shared with you moments ago, the probe, they're calling it a probe, the DOJ watchdog. The Democrats are asking him, the watchdog being Durham, to play by the rules of the DOJ, and not to do anything funny. No funny business between now and election. Now, let them do the funny business with the election and the universal mail-in vote, and let them do it and try to steal the election in many different ways. But don't you do any funny business, right? You know how that works, right? The fact is, a president hires key people, whether it's the FBI director, whether it's the CIA director, whether it's, again, the attorney general. All of these roles, they serve at the pleasure of the president. We have kind of a weird system in Washington this way. And yet, so the president hires these people. They serve at the pleasure of the president. You always hear that, right? Right. They serve at the pleasure of the president. Okay, great. But yet, when the president, you know, does anything, whatever president in any administration, to call them out or to ask for their help or whatever it is that's asking for, it's always like, oh my God, how can the president do that? And that's what it is here. I mean, the point is that Attorney General Barr, the president hired Attorney General William Barr. Obviously, he's an ally and an asset of the administration, just as much as Eric Holder was for Barack Obama. And that was a very tight relationship, Eric Holder and Barack Obama. Believe me, you. Far more, and Holder had no scruples at all. He is no AG Barr. Let's be sure of that. And their relationship was as tight could ever be. There were so many scandals in the Obama-Holder, the legacy of that administration, that Obama-Biden-Holder, I mean, it was the most corrupt administration that I've seen. I mean, I don't think they could hold a candle to Nixon administration. You know, they were pretty bad. Yeah. What I would suggest to you here is the bureaucrats are running the asylum, and A.G. Barr knows it, and he doesn't like it. So Politico says Barr also used the appearance to address the widespread criticism he has faced as the nation's top law enforcement officer for allegedly interfering in criminal cases on behalf of, I love this, on behalf of President Donald Trump's political interests. Now, these organizations like Politico, The Post, The Times, again, when Obama and Holder were in business, you would never see something written like this. It would always be that's the corruptness of all of this, is our horrible fourth estate, our media elites are so beyond corruption. And all these stories are twisted for you to think in a certain way versus a different way when Obama and Holder were doing all their magic out there, you know, all their corruption, right? And so they go ahead and they ask Barr about interference, about interfering, as I just said, allegedly interfering in criminal cases. Barr says, what do you mean by interfere? Under the law, all prosecutorial power is vested in the attorney general. Hello. And these people are agents of the attorney general. Hello. And as I say, FBI agents, whose agent do you think they are? So the AG is pointing out here that the people in these departments work for the AG. The AG, all of this works for at the pleasure of the president. You see how all this works now? Now, the layers of bureaucracy and the people from the other side of the aisle, the far other side of the aisle, are in these agencies. And that's where you've had a lot of these scandals and leaks and problems that have beset the Trump administration from day one. Again, many people believe that this was one of the failed points of the early part of the Trump administration, that he didn't sweep a lot of them out. Easier said than done when you're trying to sweep out a whole bureaucracy overnight. But, you know, I don't know. The damage has been pretty serious with a lot of the over sensational headlines and leaks and problems that have, again, beset this administration in the past 4 years are pretty serious, you know. Barr says, name one successful organization where the lowest level employees' decisions are deemed sacrosanct. There aren't any, he went on to say. And so he's pointing out, he says, letting the most junior members set the agenda might be a good philosophy for a Montessori preschool, but it's no way to run a federal agency. Well, this statement got a lot of eyebrows to raise, and oh my golly, the AG is doing what? And he's suggesting what? And so what really Barr was doing here is talking about little Bob going after big Bob. He's talking about a lot of these little power seekers, these little turds running around in these agencies who, you know, think they're going after the big power brokers and stuff. But the problem is they're ideologues that are set, you know, in that other administration, and their only goal and recourse is to bring the Trump administration down. And we've seen proof of this time and time and time again. But the comments from Barr upset a lot of people. Now, we call this establishment politics, if there ever were any. This is what we're speaking about right now. Now, Barr went on to endorse Trump's view that he is besieged by the federal bureaucracy, which the president often derides as, again, what do they call it? Well, some many people call it the deep state. I prefer to use the word establishment. So they got a little more couth to it, and you know, it's not as deepy or seedy as sounding. A lot of people, when you say deep state, they think conspiracy right away. Of course, most of the stuff is true, but it's, again, our job and role here is to convince most of the people most of the time. We're not going to convince everybody, but that's what we want to try to do here. So I think establishment is probably a better word to use, because they're just established players in the federal government, and they've been there forever. You agree with me? So there is, it's called it the establishment. And that sounds fair. That doesn't sound conspiracial. I mean, as the deep state does. Now, it is a deep state. And the question we all ask is, how deep is the deep state? Well, it's pretty deep. Now, we're seeing that now, because this is what you've been living with over the last 4 years, my fellow Americans, is the deep state doing a loud belch just after they've swallowed a large dinner whole, which is most of the corruption. That's what you're getting now, is a large belch. And we've been hearing that time and time again these last few years, which is why Barr is now raising the stakes and saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't know why it's taken this long. Why all of a sudden we're now talking about Durham and everything in the ninth inning, and why Barr is worried. You sure? Why didn't we do this 3-4 again 8-10 months ago? Something like that. I mean, why did we wait and run the clock out? You know, it's just like these football games. Not that many of us follow that anymore, but, you know, they wait till the – it's the same way. They wait till the part of the game, the fourth quarter. The clock is running out, you know. You got, what, a minute left on the clock, and all of a sudden they find the power. The opposing team find the power, and they run it down the field and score and steal the game. It's kind of what we have right now, not to use an analogy to upset any of you, because I know football has been a turnoff to many of us. No, sports has in general lately. But isn't that what we're looking at here? I think you're going to see, very possibly, I'm just going to go on a ledge and predict, I think you're going to see a more explosive AG Barr ahead here. Whatever happens, I think he's had about his fill. I've been watching his temperament. He's got a very good temperament. But when you push him too far and you keep pushing and pushing, he comes back and snaps real hard. And we've been seeing some of those snaps in the past many weeks, past many days and weeks. And it's been interesting to watch him. And some of the things he's talking about, like comparing the lockdown to slavery, talking about our civil liberties and the greatest intrusion on civil liberties. And I wanted to talk more about that today as well, but, you know, there never is enough time. But you know, he's come right out and said that. I mean, because he knows that, you know, everything that's happening right now is a complete violation of our civil liberties as Americans. We didn't sign up for this. This is not what America is about. Yet we're allowing these politicians on all kinds of levels to, I'm not allowing it, but many people are. And the other problem is a lot of people have been brainwashed. They're brainwashed with the media drip, drip, drip of non-information, sadly. And so there, you got this whole brainwashing effect going on. And on this other side, you've got this drip, 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 you know, and now we're in a really, I guess it's a crisis mode now coming into an election where, I don't know, it's like, you know, I'd like to think it's all going to be just fine. And I have to believe somehow there's a master plan for all this, and that, you know, God has got it all figured out somehow. But, you know, again, I don't sit here. I'm not one of these cats that sit on the sidelines waiting for God to figure it out. As I say to you often, we have free will to make decisions. God is not here to save every wrongdoing we make as a people, as a human species. It's up to us to get it right. Yeah, that's the way I believe. I think a lot of people just wait for God to fix everything, like he's going to fix everything and make it perfect. I don't think that's God's role in this. Humankind has, we have our free will to make our decisions, whatever they may be, people, and good, bad, or indifferent. So a lot more to Attorney General William Barr we need to be talking about just ahead. He's an interesting fellow. We'll watch him really closely together, okay? And see what comes out of this. But I has he missed opportunities? Possibly. Has it been perfect? No. Do we have any indictments? No. Are you impressed with John Durham? No. I mean, are you feeling really good? No. What does the election look like? Well, I mean, we think and hope we feel victory for the American people and for liberty and for number 45 to get another term, 100%. But in a country like this of 330 some plus million people, anything can happen, my fellow Americans. And the time is now for all good people to come to the call of this nation and to rise up and to pay attention and to be informed of the issues. And we can only continue to push and edge on Attorney General William Barr to do the right things. We have to hope and believe that he is the man of the day or the hour. It's hard to say that, I know, because we don't have any answers right now, and I get it. And I understand all the Monday morning quarterbacking and all the people that are tired and fed up of hearing. I hear you loud and clear. Believe me, I hear you. And I hear the frustration. I hear you. And I don't have all the answers for you. And I'm not here to defend the establishment. I'm not here to defend Attorney General William Barr. I'm not here to defend John Durham. And I'm not here to defend the fact that there are no indictments or nobody has paid a price for anything. I'm not here to defend any of that because I think it's all rubbish and hogwash. Okay? I am here simply to defend liberty, and I'm here to defend the American people for what might be and what can be and what should be and hopefully what will be. So let's all buckle up here as we get into a new season. And this election is going to be one for the record book. I can feel it coming. As they say, God willing, the swamp water don't rise, huh? Well, got to get that tide to come in and push all that crusty political minutia out into the deep, deep sea, people, far away from us here. Thank you for being here with me on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud. We'll be right back.